telework and a strong technology infrastructure could be the best way for you to find and keep talented employees at your agency. That's according to a new Federal News Radio survey of chief human capital officers across the federal government. Jerry Buchholz is the chief human capital officer at NASA and is here today to review our survey results. Jerry, it's great to see you as always. Thank you for coming in and being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And my colleague Jason Miller is here, and Jason is responsible for putting together our surveys of all our CXOs. Jason, talk about the Chief Human Capital Officer survey. Kind of set the stage for us, please.
Well, I think this is the second or third year we've done the CHCO survey, and this was the best third year, Francis.
Yeah.
This is definitely the best response we've ever gotten. About 30% of the 54 people who we reached out to responded, which is an excellent response rate. And they break down, well, nine of them came from cabinet-level agencies, VA, transportation, and the like. Two from large agencies, such as GSA, EPA. Five from smaller independent agencies. All of them that responded, all people were career employees. And the Chico, Deputy Chico range is eight Chicos, five Deputy Chicos, and three other senior-level human resources managers. So we had a tremendous response, and the results are fascinating. We're going to have them posted on federalnewsradio.com later today. But let me just give you what we did this year a little differently than previous years is because the budget situation was solved, and I know Jerry is probably laughing to herself, solved, but at least it's not hanging over the head of agencies like it was last year with sequestration and other cuts. The questions were focused a little differently. And then with the new OPM director coming in, Catherine Archuleta, I had just come from an interview with her as I was writing these questions. So a lot of what her priorities are were fresh in my mind, and that's where we tried to highlight some of OPM's next set of priorities are within the survey.
Excellent. You can see those results, as Jason mentioned, later today at federalnewsradio.com. Kind of broadly, Jerry, talk about your role at NASA and how the budget issues that we've all gone through and the changing mission at NASA has changed what you're doing for the agency.
So my role is I am responsible for the human capital and human resources enterprise for all of NASA. So this involves a lot of different kinds of things, making sure that there is a strong fundamental HR business operation, hiring people, performance management, training, et cetera, as well as ensuring that the agency has a really good people strategy, succession planning, workforce communication, leadership development, all of those important things as well. And so, you know, NASA a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago, had a huge shift in mission with the end of the shuttle program, the end of a really very visible, prominent 35-year program. And as a result, we really had to work hard on our workforce culture and point our workforce toward a new direction going forward for the next 20 or so years as human beings travel out past the moon onto Mars. And so we have really, really been focusing hard on NASA culture, on employee engagement, on creating an innovative working environment in which people can thrive. And I think we've been doing that very successfully for the last couple of years.
The results of our survey comport with some of the things that you mentioned. The respondents to the survey talk about succession planning, improving morale, workforce training for the GS portion of their workforces, and so on as their top priorities. Does that fit with what you're doing to the degree that you just talked about it? It sounds like the answer is yes. And how are you working on each of those issues?
So we actually have been working on what we call a culture strategy. And that culture strategy has three fundamental prongs to it. The first is connecting people to each other and the mission. And we've been doing a lot of work here with virtual collaboration and social media, helping our workforce connect across vast geography. The second thing we're really focusing on is building model supervisors. And when we talk about model supervisors, we're not talking about supervisory nuts and bolts, but supervisors who are the kind of supervisor that other supervisors aspire to be and the kind of supervisor that everyone wants to work for. And then the third thing is recognizing and rewarding innovative performance, because innovation is fundamentally what NASA's mission is. So that culture strategy has a lot of different components to it, and we approach activity in everything that we do, trying to infuse that spirit of innovation throughout all of our activity at NASA. And certainly some of the things that you've just mentioned, succession planning, employee engagements, are activities that we engage in order to support that larger strategy.
One of the things that surprised me about this survey and the responses was what was the top priority for Chico's and Deputy Chico's. And they actually said, if you look at it, it was this kind of a split between improving employee morale and dealing with budget-related challenges. I think we talk ad nauseum about the budget, though it's very important, don't get me wrong. But let's talk a little bit more about the morale issue, because we've done several stories. We've had several people come on to talk about morale as a tough place. Now, NASA's a little different. We'll say that. You guys are ranked, I think, number one as the best place to work in government. So morale maybe is less of a challenge for you in some respects, but to keep that number one ranking and keep people happy, it's a bigger challenge. So talk a little bit about the morale issue.
So I agree that morale is what chief human capital officers should be focused on right now. And there's a difference between what a chief human capital officer does and, basic HR operations that are done by an HR director, let's say. Morale, it has so many different components to it, and there are so many things that can impact morale. And there are the things that agencies can control, and there are the things that are beyond their control. So I think one of the reasons that we have been very successful is that we really focus our attention on those things that we can control. The other thing that I would say is that over the last 2 years, we have really, really ratcheted up our game on workforce communication. And we see that come back in a positive way, in a variety of ways, even very simple things like thank you notes during the shutdown for providing timely, effective communications to our workforce, little things like that that tell us that we're doing a very good job of keeping people informed, even if the answer is we don't know anything, but as soon as we know something, we will make sure that you know it too. So the morale thing is really, really important. I think one of the things that people forget is it's something that you have to work on persistently and diligently every single day. You can't just look at this question when your employee viewpoint survey results arrive. And that is one of the things that I notice that it's different about NASA from other organizations that I benchmark with and talk to. It is this every single day, the senior leadership of NASA working on these issues of employee engagement and workforce culture.
Jason, there are two of these questions that struck me as being particularly remarkable given where we've come from in the past year since the last time Jerry was here to talk. It's hard to believe it's been that long since you've been here.
It's been almost exactly a year.
Question 10, how would you rank your agency's ability to find qualified job candidates? And question 11, how would you rank your agency's ability to retain the best employees? In both of those questions, at around three-quarters of your colleagues responded, Jerry, either good or great, that they're able to get and keep the people that they want. And I found that, of all the results in this survey, shocking. Were you surprised that so many of your colleagues are saying that, given the environment that we're in and given that not everybody works at a place that's one of the best places to work in government?
So I actually have to say I'm not that surprised, because you have to remember that people come to federal service based on often a personal calling, a professional calling, and that their alignment is to the mission, and they feel that deep mission connection. And the federal government hiring process, is lengthy. And so for people to want to engage in that process, they have to be pretty darn serious about wanting to work for that organization. And we're very transparent as federal employers about what being a federal employee really is all about. So I don't find it that surprising. People talk about NASA and they say, you're NASA. Of course, everybody wants to work for you. And it's true. You cannot believe how many resumes I see that start with, when I was 8 years old, I drew a picture of the space shuttle. Other organizations have that same kind of pull for people. People who want to work in international trade really want to work in international trade. Mm-hmm. And then once people become a federal government employee, once they get past that sort of initial, this is what it's really all about kind of thing, I think that you find that they feel that deep, deep connection to the mission.
And the hiring process has gotten better. Let's be clear here. I mean, it's not 100%, it's not perfect, but OPM has really worked at this and agencies have really made a difference. Are you seeing that both from a NASA and from your colleagues' perspective?
Yes, I would say overall in the federal government, we have seen the hiring process speed up. Agencies have put a lot of effort into that. And I think that we now at NASA feel very comfortable with the length of time that we are taking to hire people. You don't hire an astrobiologist in, you know, 2 weeks.
My colleague Jason Miller and I welcoming the Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA, Jerry Buchholz, in studio today to talk about the results of our 2014 Chief Human Capital Officer Survey. And Jerry, one of the issues that we've been talking about in the HR realm for, 15 or 20 years now, is at some point in time, we have all these employees that are eligible to retire. At some point, they will probably want to do so. We haven't really seen that affect people very much, though. Our survey says that 44% of your colleagues say retirements haven't affected their agency much at all. Another 44% say somewhat, and only about 12.5% say that retirements have affected them a great deal. Does that fit with what you see at your agency?
It does. We had a lot of people who put off their retirement waiting for the shuttle program to end, mm-hmm. and then we had a burst of retirement activity following the end of the shuttle program, which was good because at that point we needed to adjust our skills mix, and we sort of helped that along with some early outs, targeted early outs and buyouts during that period of time. So from my perspective, this retirement wave that we have been looking to see hasn't been a big tsunami type wave. It's been more of a more gentle wave than that. And I believe that we have actually seen most of that happen in the federal government. Mm. I think we're also seeing the shift from a CSRS, a Civil Service Retirement System based workforce, to a Federal Employees Retirement System based workforce. And so you're seeing a different dynamic in the workforce, people choosing to work longer, and choosing to continue their federal service later into life. And I think that's also not unexpected.
You said we've seen most of that referring to the retirements. Does that mean that you think that we probably aren't going to see some kind of retirement wave as we've talked about for so long?
I really think that it's already happened. Mm. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I really do think that it has. The wave was really the departure of the CSRS employees from the federal service. And I think that we are now to the point where a great majority of federal employees are covered by FERS, and so it's a complete, it's a very different dynamic.
Do you have a sense of how many NASA employees, or percentage-wise, I know that's a big question, still fall under which retirement system?
My brain is telling me it's 75% FERS and 25%
wow.
CSRS, but I wouldn't quote me.
No.
Something like that.
Don't say that on the radio.
Say it on the radio.
No, I would advise against that.
Now, let me ask you, because the retirement services, the retirement system that OPM runs has come under a lot of pressure. Again, Catherine Archuleta put out a new IT plan. Are you seeing that the retirement processing work better? Because as you said, you've probably done a lot of retirements that came through your office over the last year or two.
Well, we have been acknowledged as having one of the best retirement programs in the federal government. We have an almost zero error rate for our retirement processing. We do that as a centralized shared service for our workforce. We get very, very high marks from our workforce on the quality of service that they receive. So I think that it, you know, behooves agencies to make sure that their retirement processing works really, really well. And I know that that is a priority for the OPM director.
What does that require resource-wise? I mean, is that something that you're devoting a lot of time and energy to, or is it something, is it a structure that you put in place at some point in the past, and now it just kind of perpetuates itself?
It's a structure we've had in place for several years now. By consolidating it into a shared services location, we're able to make sure that our retirement counselors are trained and up to date on all the current rules and regulations and are able to provide accurate and timely counseling to the employees who are seeking estimates, et cetera. So I think this is one situation where it doesn't seem like it would be a good match for shared services, but it turned out to be a really good one for us.
So any other agencies start asking for some help, asking to add some fee for service?
We've had a couple who have inquired. We haven't had any take us up on that as an option yet, but that would be a choice for people.
What's the advice, though, that you give to people who come to you and say, we're struggling? What are you doing that we could do, given where we are budget-wise and so on, with a minimum of resources, both human and dollars?
Retirement counseling, it's kind of an unusual thing. There's two different things going on. There's really good counseling, which requires in-depth knowledge, and then there's really good paperwork processing, which requires excellent SOPs. So I would start with excellent SOPs.
Mm-hmm. One of the elements that we've discovered in our Chief Human Capital Officer survey, the results will be up at federalnewsradio.com later this afternoon, is that agencies are using telework as a tool to keep their best employees. 87% of respondents in our survey said that they're using telework to try to keep folks on board that they want to keep on board. Tell me about the telework effort that you're making at NASA and how you determine who's eligible and who needs to be on site.
We have taken telework beyond telework to what we call work from anywhere. And our objective is to make sure that our employees are trained, equipped, and enabled to do their jobs from wherever they are. That could be from an airstrip, it could be from a test site, it could be from the space station, it could be from wherever they happened to be. And that is our goal. And the second thing we're really working on is to make geography inconsequential so that it doesn't matter where you are, that you can connect with your coworkers and colleagues across the agency, whether they're in California and you're in Alabama, that it doesn't make any difference. In our effort to use telework as a component of these larger objectives, we have had tremendous success overcoming some of the barriers that agencies have been experiencing with people viewing telework as people sitting at home in their pajamas at their dining room table. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I actually worked all day Friday like that. But it's one of those things. We fit it into our larger culture strategy, and that really worked for us.
Do you get a sense that telework alternative work schedules is the one way to, again, what the survey said was retain employees, but also a morale issue? I mean, is that the best tool in the toolbox?
I think if you have not made substantial forward progress on that in the last few years, that is an absolutely open window of opportunity for you, and you can focus your attention there and see some really significant gains in employee engagement and morale.
What strategies did you put in place to develop that, to make it that successful of a tool for you?
It was linking it to our culture strategy, the work from anywhere concept, rebranding it as work from anywhere as opposed to telework, mm-hmm. and this idea that we were enabling and equipping people to work from wherever they were. And what we find is now they are able to work when they're waiting for an airplane in the airport. They are able to work when they're on the train. They are able to do their work from wherever they are. Huge advantages during major meteorological events and government shutdowns and the like.
We're just about out of time, Jerry, and we love having you here as always. When you look at the results of question number 22, in which HR areas has your agency made the most progress over the last 5 years? It strikes me that these are also the areas that probably forward-looking chief human capital officers are going to be thinking about as well. What do you see on that list as priorities, not just for you at NASA, but for your colleagues who are trying to mold workforces all across government?
The number one thing that you can focus on that's going to make more difference than anything else is having high-quality first-line supervisors. They make all the decisions. They decide who gets hired, who gets trained, how the people get rewarded, what work assignments they get. And those are the individuals that can take your agency further, keep you where you are, or set you back. So if you're going to devote time and attention, devoting time and attention to those hardworking first-line supervisors and making sure you've got top-notch supervisors is the best thing you can do.
What is your, I guess, take on doing that? How do you ensure that your first line supervisors are getting that attention, are being those people that you just described?
Communication strategy really helps. I have some communication tools that allow me as the Chief Human Capital Officer to communicate directly to first-line supervisors and only to those supervisors to make sure that they know what's going on in the agency and that we give them information on how to talk to the workforce about big things that are happening in the agency. We also traditionally have focused supervisory training on nuts and bolts of supervision, time and attendance, leave, work assignments, performance management. We've started a new program at NASA that really focuses on behaviors of supervisors, and we identified our model supervisors, we identified what behaviors they have that make people want to work for them. We use those supervisors to develop a curriculum, and then have trained those supervisors to be the faculty. And our first round of this training is actually happening this week. So we're very excited about that.
We just have a minute or so left, but I wonder if you believe that you and other leaders have the latitude to identify people who may be new in the agency, may not have seniority, or may not have the level of technical expertise that another employee might have, but you see some kind of a leadership spark in that person and can put them on a leadership track, or if we're kind of still in the old-fashioned way of doing things where people get promoted just based on the time they've been at the agency and their technical expertise.
So we have a very well-developed leadership development curriculum at NASA, and we have a program we called NASA First, which is for high-potential young future leaders. It's a competitive program. Employees apply. They are endorsed by their supervisor. The screening process is rigorous and agency-wide. And then they go through a 6-month cohort program. I think that's really important, but it's also important to remember you can start small and grow. We have NASA First, we have a mid-level leader program and an SES CDP program. Over the course of the last, I don't know, 5-7 years that we've had these programs, we've now put almost 500 people through those programs. And these are people who we have given the ability, the competency, the competence to be these model supervisors that we need for the agency.
It is always delightful to have you here. I promise I'm not going to wait a year to bring you back. But here's the neat part. Jason and I have been asking you questions for the last half hour or so, and now anybody can ask you the questions because, Jason, you're going to take her out of here.
We're going to run.
That's right. You're going to take her to the Federal News Radio online chat headquarters.
It's a wall-enclosed nerve center.
Yeah, that's right. And talk about the chat that's going to happen.
So as soon as we're done, as soon as we're off the air here, we're going to head back, and Jerry will answer questions from our audience. So if you haven't registered, it's a free registration. You go, you sign up, and you can ask Jerry your own questions. And we'll talk about the survey. We'll talk about anything that's happening at NASA, anything you heard today on your program, or almost anything else. I think no Area 51 questions. We've already established Area 51
Good.
Questions.
I registered just to see how hard it was, and it's so easy, even I could figure it out. So anybody will be able to register. Thank you very much for being here. Terrific conversation.
Thank you for having me.